We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Thank you, Josh.
That was Josh McDaniels last year, talking about last season, not just last calendar year, but last season, 2020. And I think it was the end of December. So, saying he absolutely wants to be head coach in this league. You know, this is where it gets into, like when Josh McDaniels doesn't get jobs and isn't, you know, up for, like, you know, interviews, it turns into, well, he doesn't want them. He doesn't want to be a head coach.
It's his choice.
He wants to stay here. Yeah. He's looking for the perfect spot. Yeah. You know, it's all on his choice, his terms. I don't think it is. So I think if this man wants to be a head coach, and as bad as that situation is in Houston, you got an opportunity to build something there with your guy, Nick Caserio. Everybody always talks about it's about that relationship with the GM.
Is it though?
Well, it's people talk about it.
Got
him a GM.
Oh gosh, why I can't remember these guys' names.
I don't know. Yeah.
So Quinn has Caldwell.
Patricia.
And so, yeah, Bob Quinn and Matt Patricia. Like, buddies helping out buddies.
Well,
they come through the system together.
Yeah.
So they have a better, a better just relationship because they were both kind of peons and they both were kind of working their way up through the ranks. And they said, listen, if I make it, I'm bringing you with me because we can work together. We understand each other. We both want the same thing. It doesn't necessarily all work out. Like, it doesn't. So Nick Caserio is comfortable with working like a guy with Josh McDaniels because they want to build the same program in Houston as they had in New England. But I would say, if anything is proven, is that it doesn't work. It doesn't work. It doesn't. 9 times out of 10, it doesn't work. There's a long list of candidates that became head coaches from the Bill Patriot tree that all tried to be Bill, and none of them could be. It's the guys that had other, like, you know, influences on their life or weren't willing to kind of just didn't want to be a Bill Belichick clone. Like Brian Flores, not a clone. A Bill O'Brien, not a clone.
All right, is this something Josh McDaniels should consider? If it is, if the opening is there, and it sounds like if he wants it, Caserio would want him in Houston. 617-779-7937. Let's go to Mike. Mike's out in Northboro. Mike, what's going on, buddy?
What's up, boys?
Hey, what's happening?
All right, the Josh McDaniels thing, because I got the funny Fourier story, but Josh McDaniels, is it true that he really is making $8 million? And if he is, why would you go anywhere? Kids growing up here, job security across the board, as long as Bill's here, he's the O coordinator, right?
Yeah, I don't know how much money he makes. I'm sure he's making a lot more than most offensive coordinators or coaches in this league.
No, I know. I agree, Lou, yeah. But I heard $8 million the other day, and I'm like, there's no way. That's why I'm asking you guys. I don't know if that was true.
Yeah, I think
or
I heard somebody say it. He's making a lot of money as far as coordinators go. I mean, she's probably one of the highest paid ones. Yeah, you know,
but it's about
he gets to know Bill's whole world. That's part of it.
I mean, it's about professional growth, though, isn't it? Like, people are in jobs. I know some people are happy right where they are, but maybe there are some that actually sit there and say, you know, I want more. And I think the GM down in Houston's a perfect example. Why would you leave New England if you're Nick Caserio? And thanks for the call, Mike. Like, why leave New England? Talk about job security. You can sit there forever with Bill Belichick. You keep winning. Why do you want to leave? You leave because you're getting no credit whatsoever in New England for doing what you have done. You leave because you can go to Houston. Because these two people are motivated. They want the challenges. They want to do something different. He could have stayed in New England. Talk about comfort. His family could have stayed in New England.
Do you think he should take the job? Do you think that's a good job for him?
I think Josh McDaniels, if a team is interested in him, he should take the freaking job.
I'm a no on that job based on more just because of the perception and the optics that come with. You already had a Bill Belichick guy, and he was actually pretty good
for
you as far as coaches go. Bill O'Brien was good. Okay, you gave him the GM job also, then he screwed up, and then there was just tension, and then there was issues. So it was time for him to go. But he was there a long time. But then you bring in Nick Caserio. And now you're gonna now you're gonna bring in Josh McDaniels. I feel like I just feel like winning over the fan base, I think, would be challenging is all. And I think it'll be similar to what Matt Patricia was going through in Detroit.
Yeah. So that's what I mean. Like so these guys that have left Bill Belichick, it's actually hurting Josh McDaniels. Because why wouldn't he be involved in Miami? You know, why wouldn't he be involved in Houston? You know, when they fired Bill O'Brien, they don't want to bring another. Remember, who was it? The guy down in Houston. They're not going to bring in another Patriot guy.
Oh, John McClain.
Yeah.
And John McClain said that before they hired Nick Caserio.
Right. And then he got Detroit. We're not going to. Joe Judge in New York. I just saw that. What was it? I don't know what paper it was out in New York, like that Josh McDaniels was the top candidate. You think they're going to go from Joe Judge to
New York Post?
Yeah, New York Post.
No way.
You think they go from Joe Judge to Josh McDaniels?
You know what? Maybe. It's the Giants. Maybe. Maybe. They hired Adam Gase. Oh, no, that was the Jets. Sorry. All the New York teams suck.
Can I bring
They're
up
all terrible.
One other thing that seems to be hurting Josh McDaniels, and I don't really understand why? It's old Josh McDaniels. It's Josh McDaniels with the St. Louis Rams, Josh McDaniels with the Denver Broncos, and I feel like that is still something that is held against him, and I don't understand why. You make mistakes as a younger coach. You learn from it. You come back. Do you hold something that Josh McDaniels did over a decade ago against him? Is that why he's not getting more opportunities?
And I would also say the Denver situation, like, did they really have any patience with him whatsoever?
I don't think they did.
He wasn't even there 2 years.
He wasn't good in St. Louis, but that was a long time.
And they
threw
him
ago.
In, listen, but they brought him in there St. Louis, and he was there 1 year, and he was basically almost like between jobs, you know? And no, it didn't work out, but hey, you got your Danny Amendola. Hey, you got a first look at Danny Amendola, convince him to come
Even
sign here.
Even the thing with the Colts at this point is in the past, and he was going to have more opportunities to interview 2 years ago, but I feel like a lot of the things that are held against Josh McDaniels are really out of Josh's control because they were so long
ago. Yeah, I agree with you on that point. But you know what is interesting, though? So Jerod Mayo's name is being thrown around like crazy. And why isn't Steve Belichick's name being thrown out there? Why Jerod Mayo has been coaching less time I would assume Belichick is the guy
players.
Is like ahead
former players.
Of Jerod Mayo. Like, wouldn't you think that
they want former players?
Why? Well, what does that do?
I don't know, but I'm just saying, like, the Vrabel thing. You know, you want like a former player. You tell me why would Mayo be ahead of Steve Belichick?
I would say traditionally. Like, Steven Belichick is more knowledgeable. Steven Belichick is more prepared. He's been there longer. And I also say, like, I know they don't have titles, and that's part of the problem. But I would say if I'm in the building, like, 1 year we didn't have an offensive coordinator. But Charlie Weiss went to go coach Notre Dame, and Josh McDaniel was basically running the offense. Like, he was doing the offense, but he wasn't the offensive coordinator. But we all knew he was the offensive coordinator. So he obviously had more, power and more influence on everything as opposed to the other guys that were just, you know, the tight ends coach or, you know, Ivan Fears. So I just think it's odd that Steven Belichick has been, I guess, prepped more than Jerod Mayo. Your Jerod Mayo is like leapfrogging him.
Yeah, he has.
I don't know. I feel like he's ahead of him. But
so Mayo is going to interview with the Broncos. I was looking now with the Giants opening. Now there's seven openings. We don't know what's going to happen down in Houston. If I was to ask you, of the seven openings, you got the Giants, Bears, Vikings, Jags, Raiders, Broncos, Dolphins. What's the best situation? What's the worst situation?
So if I'm going to go, I actually think that the best job, I think, is Vegas. I think it's Vegas. When I think of, like, you already have, like, an all-pro quarterback. And he's never won a playoff game before. And I get they have an interim coach that everybody's liking right now. But imagine if you got somebody that could button up things a little bit better. And you already kind of have the quarterback who's an all-pro quarterback that's breaking all sorts of records. Why wouldn't that situation be the best situation?
I guess it depends on the way you look at it, right? Because the Raiders got into the playoffs. They finished strong. Now, I'm mentioning maybe it's not Bisaccia, right? The guy that actually did it. Okay? So you walk in there and you say, okay, the guy that we just had, you know, finished the year strong. Let's see what you can do with this team. It's almost like Patricia. You know, Jim Caldwell, 9-7. All right, listen, you snuck us into the playoffs. Now we expect more. And you've got your quarterback. But the future of the quarterback is still up in the air, right? Like, you don't know, do you stick with him? Is he your guy for the next 4, 5, 6 years, 7 years? So, I mean, I don't know. I look like the Vikings, I look at that one as a pretty good one too. Because it seems like Kirk Cousins, maybe you got one more year. You walk in there, maybe you draft your kid. You can play Kirk Cousins. You can still win. Underachieving team. Still got some talent there, some good young talent there that you can win with. How about the worst one?
The worst one? Well, based on their history, I would say that the Giants are probably the worst. It's the least appealing team to me. Because I look at Denver, I'm like, let's just say you're Denver. So Denver, if you ask me like a month and a half from now, I may change my mind if Aaron Rodgers is my quarterback. Like if Nathaniel Hackett, if he ends up getting the job there, I can easily see Denver getting a guy like Aaron Rodgers, and because they have a relationship, and then that being
that's
the best
one of the
job.
Better ones.
You know, it all depends. Like, so the landscape's going to change a little bit based on how some of these guys kind of fall. But like when I look at Jacksonville, like okay, so you have, I guess what you should say is the most important piece. It just needs to be developed.
Mm-hmm.
If I can turn
that's why
him
I wouldn't
in,
make them the worst. That's the only reason why is Trevor Lawrence. The only reason. Like, I agree with you with the Giants.
What about
because they're sort of in a spot with Daniel Jones that you don't know really what he is at over at all, right? You got to start. Your bell cow and Saquon Barkley isn't the same guy.
He ain't a bell cow.
And that's what I mean. He's not. He's not Saquon Barkley anymore, right? So the New York Giants might be the worst spot.
I think the Giants are in last. Minnesota is weird because I do think they're in flux. I do feel like they're a year away. Like, I could see a new coach coming there. Winning 11 games, maybe winning 12 games, going to an NFC championship, whatever, losing. And then the next year, the cap number and the new – because remember, they're getting their GM retired and the head coach got fired. So they lost both guys. So I could easily see them having one good year because all these guys are kind of sticking around and Kirk Cousins is still there. But they're not going to re-sign Kirk Cousins to another three-year, $84 million guaranteed deal. Mm-hmm. That's not going
to
happen.
All right, let's get to the phone call. 617-779-7937. If you're Josh McDaniels, do you take the Houston job? And what do you think the best job is out there right now? Let's go to Brandon in Connecticut. Brandon, what's up?
I'm on the Minnesota train. I think he has a good offense. Obviously, the Cousins thing, if he takes a pay cut, I believe – that might be the best option if they can kind of negotiate that. And also with the discipline that New England has, he can bring that to Minnesota. And they can win them close games, I feel, that they keep losing every year, it seems like.
All right, Brandon, appreciate it. Yeah, listen, I think Minnesota's a good spot. Of course, Aaron Rodgers staying in Green Bay might kind of ruin that a little bit. But still, I think it's a good spot. Let's go to Paul in Boston. Paul, go ahead.
Hello.
Yo.
Gentlemen. Hey,
go ahead.
Paul. Josh McDaniels does not have a head coach presence. I'm going to use the word presence.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Belichick barely has a high school presence. Maybe he'll get there someday. Today, they don't have that presence. The only place Josh McDaniels will have a presence is when Belichick retires. He will have a presence in that organization. McDaniels does not have a head coach presence. Thank you, gentlemen.
Okay, so what does that mean? Like so what does that mean? So you don't look the part?
No, I feel like I know what he's talking about. The problem that I have is I don't know Josh McDaniels that well. I don't know Steve Belichick that well. I don't know Gerard Mayo that well.
Blah blah blah, Matt Ryan, blah blah blah, mobility.
That's Steve. I don't see that. But I understand. I know exactly what he talks about. Like, cause for me, it's like baseball guys I play with, I'm like, that guy's gonna be a manager. Like, there's just a presence about him. Like, you just knew it. And a lot of those guys are managers right now. You know what I mean? So, like, in baseball, and there's other guys, like, listen, he's a great baseball mind. I just don't know if he'd be a manager. He'd be a coach if he wants for a long time in the game, but I don't know if he's got that presence. I know exactly what he's talking about. But to me, I think you got to know the person and their personality before you could say he doesn't have it or does. I don't know, just by looking at the guy on the sidelines, I don't know if he does or not.
Okay, so you have Brian Flores, Joe Judge, and Matt Patricia, okay? And each guy, I think, in the end, when all the dust settled...
I think Flores had it.
Well, no, but think about, like, why he got fired, if you believe the rumors and the speculation about how we butted heads with ownership and the GM and Tua, and there was... And, like, he was getting rid of everybody. He was starting to... He wanted to build his own kind of team and his own philosophy, and he wanted his guys, or guys that weren't, like, kind of influenced by the old regime, right? You wanted dedicated guys. You know, Joe Judge was pretty much doing the same thing. He was, you know, walking around with an iron fist, you know, demanding, you know, a certain type of accountability. And then so was Matt Patricia. So all three of these guys, in my opinion, were all kind of handling their new job and the same way. Okay? But to your presence, Matt Patricia bungled it, his press conferences. Joe Judge, awful. For the most part, was terrible.
What about Flores?
Flores was good.
I thought he was.
So they were all, but would you agree that they were all going, trying to do the same thing the same way?
Control. And I think Flores, you know, when, like you said, the story's coming out now, too, with like just the disconnect, you know, and the different coaches and offensive coordinators, defensive coordinators, you name it. Like, just coaches coming in and out of there in 3 years. I think he has that presence. I think he's a good coach. That one surprised me. You see Gary Washburn's article today?
Yes, I did.
You know, and yes, I did. And I know locally, I know people nationally have talked about it, too, like the, you know, when they start talking about bringing race into it and short leash and black coaches, and here we are, seven new openings, and we'll see if any African-American coaches, you know, guys get named and all these other things. It's just that I don't know. He's talking about in this article about the short leash, and it's the reality. And he brings up Jim Caldwell and Mike and Brian Flores. Yeah. So I understand that that's actually factually correct. Like, I don't understand Brian Flores. I don't. But I feel like when you come out and you start talking about the reason why they have a short leash and were fired is because they're black, I feel like you got to take the next step, because what you're really saying is you're calling Stephen Ross and Chris Greer racist, aren't you? Like, don't you have to?
You're not.
If you're going there, don't you have to just jump all in? I mean, if you really believe that Brian Flores was fired and has a short leash, then you believe that those guys fired him because of the color of his skin. Period. End of story. You don't believe the other stories of reasons why. Like, that's the only reason why. If you believe that these coaches aren't getting jobs, then what you're doing is you're just saying that some of these owners are racist. Well, I just feel like you have to say it if that's where you're going to go, the road you're going to go down.
Well, and I do think there's this I don't know, speculation that black coaches get a shorter leash and less opportunities to fail
there's
than white
less
coaches.
Of them. There's no question about it.
Well, I know, but do you, like, I was just doing my own like little just digging on as far as like just coaches, NFL coaches that were fired after like a short period of time, how quickly it is. I mean, Matt Patricia barely had 2 years. I mean, Vic Fangio, 3 years. Urban Meyer, for whatever reasons, they got rid of him in the middle of the season.
Joe Judge, too.
Joe Judge, Jim Mora, I went even older, Bobby Petrino, Cam Cameron. There's a ton of them. There's a ton of them. The thing that bugged me the most is that there's this perception that because if you're a black coach, they're not going to trust you as much. They're not going to give you enough time to fail and figure it out. And I think, you know, Brian Flores being fired shook a lot of people. You know, based on the fact that he had a winning record 2 years in a row and he still got fired.
Shouldn't have been fired.
Yeah, but I would say that, saying, but that so happens.
But you're
a
hearing
lot.
The stories now about possibly why he was, like, a complete disconnect between he and maybe the GM or the owner and where they were going, or the quarterback that they have right now. Like, I think there's legit reasons why. Maybe they let him go. I don't like it. I think he should have stayed, but whatever.
But coaches are not being fired or giving less time because of the color of their skin. Coaches are being fired because owners are impatient, because owners are flighty, and they get influenced by, you know, the next, you know, sparkling object, like the Jim Harbaughs of the world, or the Urban Meyers of the world. They get influenced by that.
All right, so I don't know. So we'll see if Josh McDaniels ends up getting another job, and if he does, how does that affect Mac Jones? And if he is going to leave, I'll tell you why now I think might be the perfect time for it. We'll do that next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
All right, listen, let's get to your call, 617-779-7937. You want to talk about this Josh McDaniels situation? Let's go to Roy in Boston, who actually wants to talk about that Washburn column. Go ahead, Roy.
Hey, what's going on, man?
How you doing?
Christian, I think so. I know you named off a list of all the white coaches that got fired after the, whatever, two seasons or whatever, but I think what Washburn was hitting at was more of the black coaches that are getting fired after winning seasons. And I think there's been, like, what, four now?
Who are they?
Three or four, at least.
Who? Caldwell.
Jim Caldwell got fired after back-to-back winning seasons. Now you have Miami's guy. I know that there's two more. I just seen a post on it the other day.
Yeah, but
I can't remember the name.
Do you think like the GM of the Miami Dolphins is Chris Greer? He's black. Okay, so I think that removes this whole idea that black coaches don't get more chances.
Of course, that's if the GM could be black, but if the white owner's telling the black, you have to fire the.
I know, but do you think it's, but honest to God,
so the white owner who hired a black general manager and a black coach doesn't want a black coach anymore because of the color of his skin. How does that make any sense, Roy?
It's not really about it.
Well, people
want sometimes
they want to make it.
Some things just don't make some things that just happen and it just doesn't make sense. But I mean, the examples are there.
Well, no, I mean, but here's the thing, Roy, I agree. I mean, listen, Caldwell's 9-7, never made the playoffs, but he's 9-7 with them. I don't understand the Brian Flores thing either, but when you said it doesn't make any sense, we're starting to hear why it did make sense and the issues that they had. But I mean, when you talk about it, it's just a reality. I understand it's just a reality, but the white owner who hired a black general manager and is sticking with the black general manager and got rid of the black coach because he doesn't like the color of his skin. I mean, that's the insinuation. It's just about that. It's just about race. When I think there's some stories coming out that it really wasn't about that.
No, and even the Caldwell thing, that you were a victim, and that would have happened to any coach because Bob Quinn came in, inherited Jim Caldwell, and wanted his buddy Matt Patricia.
Yeah.
That's what it was about. He thought that he had this grand scheme, this great idea, this great plan, that they could recreate what happened in New England, but he just needed a Bill Belichick guy because he probably liked Caldwell.
And Gary, you know, talking about like Eric Bieniemy. Sure, we've sat here before with Eric Bieniemy. Like, he should get a shot. He probably should get a chance. But then he brings up Byron Leftwich. The only reason why anyone's talking about Byron Leftwich is because Tom Brady decided to go and play with Tampa Bay. Like, I don't know if anybody was talking about Byron Leftwich when Jameis Winston was there. So if you're an owner, you sit there and say, what are we hiring? The guy that worked with Byron Leftwich or the guy that worked with Tom Brady? You know what I mean? So, and then the other one he brought up was Gerard Mayo needs to have a chance. It's like Gerard Mayo's going to get his first interview this year. Like, slow down. I think he will get a chance. So it's, I don't know. I think it's lazy. And I know it's realistic. Not many, you know, black coaches in this league. And I think there's plenty of guys qualified. And we'll see. Hopefully they get more jobs. But to just come out and say, you know, Brian Flores was, you know, had a short leash because of race, it was the black GM that fired him. Or it was the white owner that hired the black GM who hired the black coach. Like, race doesn't make any sense to me.
It's all about how you can win, what your relationship is. And I think owners are squirrely, they're flighty, they're indecisive, you know, they get easily influenced. I mean, there's such a long list of coaches that got fired, one, before they were even able to implement their own scheme.
Well, I would say this. We're talking about Josh McDaniels and Mac Jones. And I would say if Josh McDaniels wants that Houston job and he takes it, I think one name you got to keep an eye on, and hopefully he doesn't get that Jacksonville Jaguars job, would be Bill O'Brien. You know, that would be the perfect seamless like transition for Mac Jones here in New England. They were together the last year in Alabama. So Bill O'Brien was with Mac Jones in college.
Well, in the offseason. I mean, he wasn't his coach.
Right. Well, I'm just saying. But, okay, so they got together. They worked. He taught him the offense. Or the offense,
he was
rather,
still
like
in
January,
the city,
February. Yes. So, I mean, I'm just saying there's a little bit of a relationship there. And Billy comes up here. People are saying if Josh McDaniels leaves, then Mac's got to learn a new system. You think if Josh McDaniels leaves, whoever's the new offensive coordinator is going to change the system on Mac?
No.
Not a chance. So why not bring a guy that's somewhat familiar with it? Wouldn't Bill O'Brien be the perfect fit?
I mean, I would also say, I don't know. Like, what would you rather? Would you rather, you know, be the offensive coordinator at Alabama, which is basically like being the offensive coordinator of a pro team?
Well, the word is he wants to get back in the league.
Yeah, I don't blame him either. I wouldn't want to recruit. I'd rather just say, listen, I'm just going to pay you a bunch of money. Will you play for me?
Would you be concerned if Josh does leave for Mac Jones this early in his career?
Would I be surprised?
Would you be concerned for Mac? You know, that was a new offensive coordinator.
Not as much as I would Josh Allen if Brian Daboll leaves.
I agree
because I think Josh Allen needs a lot more. I just, you know, hovering and tutoring and coaching as opposed to Mac, who, for the most part, small sample size, I think is probably more easily coachable, I guess, to an extent, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
He's not as random as Josh Allen. He doesn't take as many chances as Josh Allen. He stays within the system more, so it's less bad things can happen.
All right. I like that. We'll go. Actually, you know what? We got to go to the Hot Rod 1 hotline because we're going to we're going to talk to our guy right now. Forgot all about our guy.
Scal.
Do I have a read
for my man? Is he on right now?
Here we go. Joining the show. Odyssey NBA insider Brian Scalabrine, insider calls presented by BetQL. You can get access to data and insights the sportsbooks don't want you to see. You can bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com. Today, joining us on that Harbor One hotline is Brian Scalabrine. Scal, how you doing, man? It's Lou and Christian.
I feel like it's been a while since it's been just us three talking.
You missed us, huh? Yeah. I know. Just us, like the circle of trust.
Yeah.
You know what? Whoever was on last time, he really put me up against it. I thought he asked some really good questions. Was it Hart? Am I getting the guy's name right?
I think it was. It's Andy Hart. Yeah, Andy Hart was in the house.
Yeah, he asked some good questions the other day, and I had to do a little bit of tap dancing. But in general, it was kind of how I believe. But we'll see how this one goes.
Well, I'm just wondering, did you enjoy getting back? I know last time you talked, you thought it was interesting for you guys to see the game differently, right? Sitting at home, you saw maybe some things differently. Did that change the way you looked at it when you were actually calling the game?
A little bit, but I still believe in how about this? I kind of thought that. Being there when I was at home, it became clear as day to me. And then when I was there, I think there's a lot of room for improvement offensively. But just to go back to I know the big hot topic is Tatum and Brown and can they play together? You think about it this way. Like, I can find guys that, man, can really drive closeouts or move the ball. Or, like, there's a lot of guys in the NBA that do that. It's rare to find, like, young wing talented, athletic, guys like this. So, looking at it from these guys, it's all about teaching these guys, and they both seem open and willing to learn, teaching them how to play, that other style. Because in the playoffs, by the way, it's really hard to play, where you get driving closeouts and you get open. And most of the time it comes down to your best players making plays over their best players. So, yeah, it's like there's two sort of games in the NBA, the regular season game and the playoff game. But, I feel like after watching it live, they do have to learn how to be better off-ball players. But they study. They've been working on it. They're open to learning. So I'm all in on these two right now. And I don't know if it's going to change. But as of for me, I like both these guys and building off of both these guys.
I do feel like it's weird, Scal, that, when we talk about Tatum and Brown, I feel like we still talk like they're first year and rookie players. It is weird how people address them and perceive them like they're these, they're just starting to figure it out, just trying to get their feet wet, give them some time when they've been in the league forever. It's like, that's so odd.
Yeah, but they've been in different roles, coming off the bench, that's a role. Being a role player, that's a role. Being the guy, that's a different animal. And even last year, it started out and it was supposed to be Kemba Walker. They knew he was going to be out. But even that, they had the guy kind of defer to Kemba Walker. So this is like the first time we're talking about these guys being leaders, everyone looking to them learning how to be aggressive, get yours, but make sure you're getting other people involved. Reading depth of defense is not an easy thing to do. Anybody can read the first defender, but you're a superstar player. You got to read that third defender. You got to read that low man. And can I kick that? Can I swing that ball to the corner? And then when you do, that ball's got to be delivered on time, on target. That's a whole nother level that these guys have to learn and get to. It's not just you roll the balls out, and they've been the same since their rookie year. They've had to adapt to all different roles.
All right, we're talking to Brian Scalabrine. And Scal, your boy Perk, he's taking the Twitter. He's taking some heat too, but I think he's saying kind of what everybody just really wants, right? It's just to see these two play well together at very high levels. I'm curious, with Tatum, responded the other night, right? 30 minutes after the game. I'll say, I think it's just a reality, Scal. Like, these guys now with social media, this is, as much as maybe I sit there and say, put the phone down, this is just what they are. Do we just have to come to accept that it's just a different time? Or should he be doing that 30 minutes after the game?
I don't have a problem with that. I think it's hard for us to understand the generation because we didn't grow up like this. These kids are all attached to their phone. Like, I coach AAU. As soon as the practice is over, they all pop onto their phone. So this is how they live. So it's not like we're going to change that or anything like that. Yeah. But I like that. You know what I like more than anything is both these guys are not running from this, and I both know that's the talk going on, and they're both facing it head on. Hey, listen, there's a lot of good things about this young generation. The one thing I don't like is the passive-aggressive behavior. These guys aren't doing that. They're looking at it. They're saying, we got to get better. We got to work. They're not running from this, and they might respond their own way, but come on, man. We all have been analysts, and we respond our way to our opinions. They have the right to say their opinions as well.
Yeah, no, I guess I agree with that. They aren't running from it. They are addressing it, and they're not sugarcoating it. But, okay, so let's talk as far as game philosophy, Scal, okay, because I've seen a lot of different, you know, opinions as far as how Ime Udoka should attack, like, the last, like, minute and a half, 2 minutes of a game, like, what his lineup sure. should be that gives him the best opportunity, right? There's this all this debate about Schroeder and, you know, Al Horford and getting them off and get better shooters out there. So end of game situation, who are your best five people to play in order to get that win end of game?
Yeah, so I think for me, and every game has a personality of its own, but let's go 30,000 feet and in general going into a game how I would look at it. So probably I'm 60-40 Rob over Al, but I'd play one of those guys at the five. Obviously, Jason and Jalen. I definitely would have Marcus Smart out there. And then I would waver. Like, I think some nights it'd be Peyton Pritchard. I think other nights it'd be somebody else. But I don't know. Like, I'm not sure that sometimes – I'm not kidding here. I think I would even look at Grant Williams at times. So, like, a Horford-Williams – Tatum combination of a front court with Brown and Smart. So, like, I would go a lot of different directions. I'm not sure I would definitely go with Schroeder out there all the time, but that's just my opinion. I know, but if I didn't have Brown and Tatum, then I would 100% go with Dennis Schroeder out there. But if I already have Brown and Tatum, in my opinion, I think Schroeder's a little redundant, and I'd rather have guys at space and guys that knock down shots and guys that have defensive versatility, and that means you could switch and not be in rotation. So I hope that clarifies it for you. It does in my mind. But
yeah, the Schroeder was the one I wanted to get rid of. Basically, that's what I wanted.
So, Scott, you know, you start talking about some of these.
One thing to mention, though, but if I don't have Brown and Tatum, do you both agree that 100% he should be out there?
Well, I mean, I think the understanding is unless somebody's either one of those guys, best case scenario, one of those guys is hurt or they're fouled out,
they're not
going to be off the
court. Schroeder's been like a roller coaster ride, right? Some moments you're like, damn, this guy can really help. And other moments you're like, I'm not sure if he fits.
Yeah, but when this is standard operating procedure in the NBA. You need scoring. If Brown and Tatum are out, I have to have Schroeder out there. If Brown and Tatum are in, I don't need him. By the way, like if you watch the Brooklyn Nets, I know that the stats say this and that, but to me, Kyrie Irving's a little redundant on that team. I don't need Kyrie Irving. I need Kevin Durant and James Harden to take all the shots at the end of the game, and I'd rather have, you know, a wing defender that can shoot three. So to me, Schroeder, in my opinion, with those two, is a little redundant, and I'd much rather have defensive versatility and spacing.
So, Scal, let me ask you this, because I know a lot of Celtics fans, they talk about this guy all the time. Do you think that the Celtics should bring Isaiah Thomas back, 10-day tryout contract?
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that. I don't – on a COVID hardship, 100%, no problem. I have no problem with that.
Like, was that
Do I think he's going to be the MVP and save our team?
No, can he help?
No, I don't think
can he
that.
Help? I mean, you need shooters, right? Can he help?
Well, so I don't know how fans look at it. And I can't. The first question every GM asks, and by the way, the Celtics are a top six defensive team. Can he guard? And you can't like structure your entire defense over a guy. Like I don't even want to structure my entire defense over like a guy like Dennis Schroeder. So you gotta, and Dennis Schroeder can guard. So guarding is a big part of the NBA, but can Isaiah help? 100%. There's a lot of different ways. The second quarter, the start of the second quarter, a lull in the third, maybe the start of the fourth, but not down the stretch. That's not what I would – I wouldn't think that he'd be able to guard at a high enough level.
All right, so I just want to ask you, because I know, like, the frustrations that Celtics fans, I think, have is, you know, you get some wins, and then all of a sudden it sort of turns around and goes the other direction, and you feel like this team's not playing up to expectations. So now you got Tatum and Brown, and it seems like this team is somewhat healthy at this point. Is now the time we expect them to just sort of straighten out this season moving forward, even though they got a tough weekend? I know that. But is it now time to kind of start playing the basketball you think you're capable of?
So I don't use injuries as an excuse ever. I think the NBA, you should be good enough to win games with players out. I get it, like when there's five games in 7 nights and you're a little shorthanded, but I don't need to improve. I think they need an offensive identity.
Yeah. Oh, we lose
whoever plays. Yeah. I don't even know what their offensive identity is. Find it.
Oh, okay, we're losing
that's fine. Oh, we're at the end anyway.
All right, Scott, listen, man, we're losing you. I don't know if you can hear us or not. We appreciate it. Offensive identity. I think that's what you thought that they needed right there. And thanks for joining us. Brian Scalabrine, Harbor One Hotline. He was our Odyssey NBA Insider. Insider calls presented by BetQL. BetQL is here to help us make better bets through real, proven analytics. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. I think it's just interesting. I think the way he talks about, like, coaching that AAU team. So, yeah. This is just what these kids do. And, like, we got to get past that. You know, like, people pissed off that this guy's going on his phone 30 minutes after the game, and Jason Tatum, this is what they do. The game's over.
No.
They're on their phone. They're checking everything out.
No, I know. I deal with it. Like, daughter's
it is what
they're
it is.
On the same court as his kids. So.
It is what it is.
Yeah, it is. And do you think that they're dealing with it, though? You think they're dealing with it head on?
I do. I think they're talking about it.
Well, I feel like sometimes they are passive aggressive. If you look at some of their tweets, it's a little innuendo here and a little, you know, cliche there and, you know, flirting with the issue there. Sometimes they are, sometimes they aren't.
All right, listen, coming up next, I want to get into this Tom Brady. See this Brady brand?
Oh, yeah.
This apparel that's out right now? Boy, stuff's not cheap. We'll talk about it next.
Here we go. This is WEEI.
This is it.
That's the one.
Get it right.
All right, it's Foye. Now, listen, if your hair is thinning, you have to see my guy, Dr. Matthew Lopresti at Leonard Hair Transplant Associates. Earlier this year, I had a hair transplant with Dr. Lopresti, and the hair is now growing in thicker and thicker each month, and I love it. I look back on pics of my hair prior to the hair transplant, and man, I tell you what, I just wish I did it years ago. Now, for a free consultation with my hair doctor, Dr. Matthew Lopresti at Leonard Hair Transplant Associates, call 1-800-GET-HAIR. 5 locations throughout New England.
All right, welcome back to Maloney and Forey. I don't know if you saw this now, but Tom Brady's into apparel.
Yeah.
You know, and not just like the TB12 hats. We're talking about, you've got shirts, shorts, caps, you got jackets, sweaters, workout gear.
Fashion.
He's a fashion guy now. He is a fashion guy. Do we have him actually talking about how now he is a fashion guy before we start diving into some of his apparel? Is it Good Morning America, I believe he was on?
Good Morning America for about 3 minutes this morning. This is what he had to say about his new fashion line.
Now he's stepping into a new arena as a clothing designer, launching a new apparel brand called, well, Brady.
How involved were you in the actual process of the design?
Very involved in it, and I've loved doing it. I mean, I've always kind of, loved fashion and apparel, and I wanted to be as hands-on as possible.
Look, your wife says that you're more into clothes than she is.
She's obviously, in my view, you know, the goat of what she's done in her career. And not only that, but she's an incredible person with the most amazing integrity. And yeah, she's been in fashion for a long time. But I would say she has amazing taste. We're similar in ways that we don't compromise anything. She's super helpful.
Hmm. All
super
right.
Super helpful fashion guy. I think Giselle had some take on all these beautiful shorts that I'm looking at. These zero weight shorts, like workout shorts.
Yeah.
$75.
Yeah.
There's a t-shirt here, just a cotton short sleeve t-shirt that just says Brady on the front.
Yep.
$50.
Yeah.
Just a cotton shirt.
Well, zero shirt is, or is it cotton blend?
Well, I'm just saying, like, there's joggers, like, there's pants. $145.
Is it made in China?
Like, this stuff isn't cheap.
No, and I feel like a lot of people are making fun of him and mocking him for the fact that it's expensive.
His hat's $65.
Yeah,
just says Brady on it.
No,
$65
I get it.
For
so,
a hat.
Listen, so
it's
there
a baseball hat.
That is, I hate to tell you, okay, is that this is what this type of line goes for. This type of marketing, so this material.
Like, what's his market?
The same market that Lululemon men or whatever the hell you call it.
Yeah, Lululemon's a bunch of women running around in their pants and getting their husbands some stuff.
No, I just looked it up. Here's a pair of shorts, okay? It's called Pace Breaker Line Short, 7-incher, whatever that means. $68 for a pair of shorts. Okay,
all right, so, but it's like Lululemon. You think they're going to spend that and have like, so that's for the guys? Like the women will wear Lulu and the wives are going to go out to this Brady website and buy like a pair of pants and say Brady on it?
It's not for women. It's really for men. I don't know. You go to the site. It's not like they're not marketing their clothes to women as much as they are men. My point is that any high-end workout gear, athletic wear, okay, the good stuff, you're paying $78, $75 for a pair of shorts. That's just the going rate. You know, it's not the low-end, you know, crappy-made stuff. This is high-end stuff that lasts forever, that feels good, and it looks good. So that is what you're paying $50 for a T-shirt. Like, I don't know what to tell you. Like, he's not gouging people. He's right in line as far as his target demo, okay? Now, do I want to wear a big Brady thing on my shirt? Like, well, not really.
That's what I'm talking about.
Like, but, I mean, I don't, like, he
like
also
even Lulu's got that little, like, whatever it is, that little emblem. It's like a little horseshoe or something.
Yeah,
a little emblem.
Yeah. So
but this thing here is just like, you know, it's Brady everywhere. Now, unless it's just like that sort of line, like that's just sort of what it is. But I don't know. It just seems like high end. Like there, and there's some that has like just a tiny little Brady thing. Then there's others like this long sleeve shirt, just enormous. Looks like the Brady on the right pec or the left pec.
So
just Brady, it's like 4 inches big. You know, like wide. Like it's just enormous. I'm not gonna walk around in that thing that says Brady. I want a little tiny little something in the corner.
Well,
it says TV12. You can't
some of them
see
do.
Me.
I mean, what other, like, it's not like branded apparel, like the whole, that whole thing, like the Calvin Klein, like I was never
so
a big guy.
So he's competing with
that.
Lulu.
Well, here's another one. Here's another short, okay? License to train, linerless short. Lululemon, nothing special about it, $88.
Well, Lulu, everything's like $1.30, $1.20,
$80.
I know,
but my point
is,
like, so here's the thing with Brady. Okay, he obviously, he's not. Marketing to, you know, the lower middle class.
Short sleeve polo.
He's not marketing to Tyler and
no.
Yeah, he's not marketing to Matt Apan. You
know, $120 for a golf shirt.
Yeah.
Polo.
What? Did you ever buy a Nike?
$120.
Yes. Yes. I'm not buying it. But he's not. Listen. Okay. So all the things that he markets, the Beauty Rest mattress, which was like $10,000, the Aston Martin car, which was like, you know, $200,000, something crazy. Like, this is not Peyton Manning's, you know, Izod apparel company, you know, big forehead apparel company. He would be more of to, you know, the Papa Gino's and the Domino's, you know, marketing, you know, little tagline. Brady is high-end everything. Watches, clothes. Hell, his TB12 brand, you think those clothes are cheap? You ever buy a T-shirt over at that place?
No.
So expensive. So expensive. The sweatshirts, listen, they're high-end quality, heavy, thick, keep you warm. You know, so I'm not surprised that this is the price point for
him.
Here's
the question, though, because Giselle came up in that last cut we played of Tom Brady on Good Morning America. Do you think that Giselle is happy that Tom is now kind of merging into her world? Or is it like, oh, geez, I just worked all day and now I got to come home and hubby's going to ask me 50,000 questions about the hem and the cut and the design of this?
Actually,
like, should Giselle start
that.
Getting into she some football some stuff?
Yeah, I'm sure. I bet you she
weren't they all, yeah. Weren't they both part of Under Armour, though, for a while? She was doing a campaign for Under Armour.
Like the Brady brand, is it that big? You know, nationwide, like Lulu is just like, you know, you're going to like women. You look around.
You
know, now,
you wear Lululemon all the time.
I do.
Who wears Lululemon more than Lou?
Hold
nobody.
On.
Nobody.
I love Lululemon. Okay, I do like it.
He's
right?
Like ripping.
But my
Brady.
Wife usually ends up getting me some of that stuff. But
oh yeah, your wife does.
You think Lulu has
you
more?
You go out and buy that stuff.
Okay, is Lululemon have more men or women buying
Come
their
on,
clothes?
Let's go into Lululemon.
Both.
Oh no,
shot.
Honey, they have men's stuff too. We can go look together.
Listen, don't get it. Twisted. I like Lululemon.
He's like doesn't want to admit that he likes
I
Lululemon.
I just did like 7 times. All I'm saying is, who do you think they market more to? You think they market to men just as much as women, which is insane. It's Lululemon is all about women. It's about pants. It's about workout clothes, things like that. Like that's
but
towards
also,
women.
But about,
like
pants.
I don't see that market being that big for men outside of New England or Tampa Bay that love Tom Brady. I just
don't. It will be interesting. Like there is also a big NIL kind of component to this, where you know he's trying to get into that, you know, the younger demographic, the college athletes. So put those guys in his clothes, in his apparel, try to convince other people this is the cool thing to wear. I mean, listen, I don't know. I haven't seen any of it. I mean, you have more nice stuff than any of us, you know. So you should. You're the one who should buy it.
Why more nice stuff?
Doesn't he, Ryan? Who's wearing all the nice clothes, all the comfy? Who keeps bragging about his comfy shirts and his comfy flannels?
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I can tell you right now, Flag and Anthem's a lot cheaper than this stuff, and it's much more comfortable. And it's like keeps me nice and warm and cozy. I love my Flag and Anthem. Check them out, flagandanthem.com.
Is that what you're wearing now?
I absolutely love it. It's the most comfortable thing in the world.
Hey, Ryan, Tyler, you guys got any of those hoodies?
No, you got your your 25 for 25 t-shirt.
Yeah, we're Greg Hill Foundation stuff.
Andy damned.
I don't think I'm wearing.
Listen, I'm a big sweats guy. All my sweats are Lulu. I get it.
You're like a hardo clothes guy. You're like a closet hardo clothes guy.
Yeah. So you think some guy in like Indianapolis, his wife's going to buy him Brady pants, and he's going to be excited about it? Or
no,
pick another city.
Some guy that likes football is like,
maybe he doesn't like Tom Brady. Not everyone loves Tom Brady.
Don't you think there would be some backlash or some, like, you know, some pushback to like the people in, as you said, Indy, Baltimore, Pittsburgh, definitely New York.
Hey, honey, a bunch of Brady
Florida
stuff. You want to go walk around wearing Brady stuff with Brady on your leg?
Kansas City?
Or Brady on your chest? Or a big hat that just says Brady across the front of it? Like, I don't know. I don't know if that's that big of a market.
I'm into fashion.
Stuff. I don't know. I don't. Ordway.
They got some stuff. He does got some. Listen, I'm not big on the whole name brand thing. I want something that's kind of smaller and nondescript. Like he's got some stuff for it. Like this little beanie. Well, that's $50 for a beanie. I think I'm gonna go get my little cheap one.
All right. We'll move on from Brady's brand.
Check it out.
And his attire. You can check it out, I guess.
A storm shifter insulated vest for $250.
All right, let's dive more into this game a little bit. Maybe the Patriots catching a break with some of these injuries. We'll dive into it. What to expect here Saturday night. By the way, this hour of Maloney and Foray is brought to you by FindMassMoney.com. And we're still going to be talking to Rodney Harrison, get his take on the weekend. We'll do that a little bit later in the show as well.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.